This is KVNF's regional newscast for Tuesday, October 5th, KVNF's 42nd birthday. I'm Gavin Dahl. The Democratic frontrunner to challenge Republican Lauren Boebert in the 3rd Congressional District next year, State Senator Carrie Donovan, told the Denver Post yesterday she's now suspending her campaign's fundraising efforts. She was drawn out of CD3 in the final map approved last week by the Independent Redistricting Commission. She noted Democrats control state government, but, quote, we could end up with an evenly split congressional delegation. That distribution does not represent the will of the people in our state, end quote. Last month, the Ouray County Plain Dealer newspaper accused Ouray County of making the decision to hire a new county attorney behind closed doors, violating open meetings laws. Co-publisher Aaron McIntyre wrote two columns asking commissioners to release a recording of their secret meeting, which they declined to do. Now the county has decided to stop publishing meeting agendas in the paper at a cost of about $200 a week. The county refutes that they pulled their ads in retaliation for these criticisms. According to Colorado College journalism professor Corey Hutchins, the county decided to start paying to publish agendas in the paper 15 years ago after settling a legal dispute with the past publisher that included $6,000 in legal fees and release of a meeting recording in the face of similar criticism. Delta County is now a national hotspot for West Nile virus. So far this year, according to the CDPHE, there have been 116 reported West Nile cases in Colorado, including 72 hospitalizations and 5 deaths. Delta County has reported 16 cases and 1 death, making it the state's leader in per capita West Nile cases. The Grand Junction Sentinel reports Delta County Environmental Health Director Greg Rajnowski said more mosquitoes here are not surprising because of the lack of a countywide mosquito mitigation district. There's patchwork mosquito mitigation, but not a coordinated effort. Other issues include difficulty getting dry ice for mosquito traps and a slow process for getting samples to a state lab for testing. Governor Jared Polis has ended an executive order that was helping some Coloradans avoid eviction while they were waiting to get help with their rent during the pandemic. KVNF's Capitol Coverage reporter Scott Franz has more.
Polis did not offer a specific reason for why he was ending the extra protection for renters, which gave them a month to avoid evictions if they applied for financial aid from the state. In a written statement, he said that thanks to the efforts of all Coloradans, quote, the moment for extraordinary executive action has passed. But in the same order, Polis is making other changes so that state employees who refuse to get the coronavirus vaccine can be fired or disciplined more quickly. Meanwhile, a state law that went into effect last Friday gives renters some new eviction protections that will last beyond the pandemic. It will specifically delay eviction court proceedings and force landlords to wait longer before charging late fees for rent. I'm Scott Franz in Denver.
Imagine turning 18 and finding yourself aged out of the foster care system. You don't have the resources to support yourself and now face homelessness. There's a program in Montrose aimed at helping youth in this situation. As Laura Palmisano reports for KVNF and Rocky Mountain Community Radio, it provides affordable housing along with support and guidance.
Yeah, I like that too.
Once a week, the residents of First Place on 2nd Street in Montrose gather in the community room. They share a meal and catch up with each other and with staff from CASA of the 7th Judicial District. Today, one of the residents is making lunch for the group.
It's just going to be just a nice blush vodka sauce with bucatini pasta.
CASA is an area nonprofit that serves children and families who've experienced abuse and neglect. The nonprofit owns First Place on 2nd Street. It's an 8-unit housing complex for youth ages 18 to 24 who've aged out of the foster care system or are at risk for becoming homeless. Carlton Mason is the executive director of CASA.
If a young person turns 18 and they don't have family support, there are not many options.
Mason says the complex can house up to 12 young adults at a time.
And I'll be honest with you, when a young person moves in, the first 10 to 12 months is very chaotic. It's young people struggling with adulting. But over time, that transitions to where these young people begin to look for jobs and begin to think about the future.
He says CASA provides more than just housing for residents of First Place. They're also there to help navigate life challenges, such as getting a driver's license, a degree, or a job.
We also have expanded into providing mental health services. We have 2 therapists on staff.
Rent at First Place is covered by state housing vouchers. Unless a resident works, then 30% of their income goes towards rent. 18-year-old Keegan McCorkle lived in foster care most of his life. He graduated from high school in January and moved into the micro-housing community in March. He says it provides him with an affordable place to live.
It's really hard to find anywhere to live that's cheap, especially on minimum wage. For single rooms here in Montrose, it was around maybe $300 to $500 a month just for a room. For apartments, it was $950 up, and here I pay $371 for a whole apartment.
McCorkle says living at CASA's facility also feels safe.
And here you feel comfortable. It's like a kind of small sense of community. We're all around the same age. It's just easier to get along.
First Place on 2nd Street opened in 2018. A mixture of state and local funding paid for it. The Colorado Division of Housing, or DOH, awarded CASA $500,000 toward the project. It was the first such housing project for youth ages 18 to 24 aging out of foster care or facing homelessness in the state. Zach Schaffner is a supportive housing services manager with DOH.
So we've learned a great deal from First Place on 2nd Street, the focus on elements like harm reduction and trauma-informed care and really providing those low barriers and flexible supports. We've really seen the success of that intervention and that approach at First Place on 2nd Street.
Schaffner says DOH also learned important design elements for future developments. First Place on 2nd Street is a mix of 4 one-bedroom units and 4 two-bedroom units. He says the two-bedroom units were intended for siblings or young couples with a child, but there was a greater need for single individuals.
Really, to the extent possible, we look for single and one-bedroom units. We've seen that that can be effective, that can reduce some of those interpersonal conflicts that can occur with roommate situations when we're working with a population that has some complex histories of trauma.
He says supportive housing, like First Place on 2nd Street, is an effective way to serve the needs of young adults experiencing homelessness or exiting the foster care system. The Colorado Division of Housing has funded similar projects in Boulder, Broomfield, Delta, and Grand Junction. And Schaffner says DOH is working to bring more supportive housing to the state. The project in Delta is the latest effort from CASA. It's under construction now and scheduled to open in December. It will house 6 youth in one-bedroom suites. Carlton Mason says CASA is expanding because there's a need.
The cost of living is just too high for a young person to kind of transition from nothing to all of a sudden having the income to sustain a place to live.
On average, more than 200 young people age out of the foster care system every year in Colorado. National data shows about 20% of these youth find themselves homeless when they turn 18. Mason says CASA can't house every young adult seeking its services. It just doesn't have the resources. But the difference they make is one small part of solving the affordable housing crisis. Reporting from Montrose, I'm Laura Palmisano.
This story is part of a Rocky Mountain Community Radio reporting collaboration on affordable housing, funded by the Solutions Journalism Network. That does it for Tuesday's KVNF Regional Newscast. Donate during Fall Pledge Drive in support of local news. Call 866-KVNF-NOW or give online kvnf.org. Special thanks, Kate Redman. I'm Gavin Dahl.